The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why is the verse, "He that endures to the end," not about eternal salvation? Well, that's what we're going to explore on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this show. Thank you so much for listening. And I also want to say thank you for all of those who have sent questions for Sean and Bob to answer. We get great questions from all over the world, and we get those through email. Now, if you've got a question that you'd like to add to the pile, we would love that. You can reach out to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, here's sometimes we get questions from people who are, you know, they just want to learn more about the Bible and where they have questions about something we've said. But then also, we also get questions that are, they're coming from like a hostile place. But that's okay because, you know, people have different types of emotions and it still raises good issues. That's my point.
Okay. That's fine.
So this is a question. This is more of a statement, I guess, from Nathan. And he says, I read your well-written article. I'm not quite sure which one that is. However, you failed to simply explain what Revelation 3:5 means because you're chained to the interpretation of other scriptures that ignore he that endures to the end shall be saved. Your education and resulting indoctrination has closed your mind to the simple truth of the parable of the 10 virgins and the judgment scene in Matthew 7. Your wholesale indoctrination of eternal security will not allow the simple truth of Galatians 5 or the entire book of James to get past your belief that for grace you are saved, not by works, is referring to Jewish works of the law and has nothing to do with the behavior of believers. He says, salvation is provided by grace. It is evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit and is given in the absence of the works of the flesh. It's not complicated. There should be no greasy grace. If you live unsaved, you are unsaved. Then Ephesians, Galatians, John, Matthew, Revelation 3, 5 make sense.
I've never heard of greasy grace. What's greasy grace?
I've heard of greasy grace. I guess it's kind of like cheap grace, I suppose. So there's a bunch of different issues there, and first of all,
Well, before we even get into the first of all, let me give an overarching. My overarching answer is yes, we are indoctrinated by the clear teaching of the Word of God. Everyone should be. When you study the Word of God and you find out that God is God and that God is eternal, you don't go through the whole Bible and say, let me see if I can find any verses which seem to say that God came into existence when he was born in a manger 2,000 years ago. No, Jesus is eternal. God the Father is eternal. God the Holy Spirit is eternal. Same thing with eternal security. The scriptures are absolutely clear that once a person is born again, they're forever born again. Jesus says, whoever believes in him will never hunger, will never thirst, John 6:35. Will never perish, John 3:16, will never die, John 11:26, that he'll never be cast out, John chapter 6, verses 37 and 39, that he has everlasting life, that he's already passed from death into life, John 5:24, that he'll never come into judgment concerning everlasting life, John 5:24. Repeatedly, over and over again, the Lord promised that the one who believes in him is secure forever. And so the idea that I'm going to find some verse, and he mentions quite a few, and we can go through all of them, however we've done this in other shows, some verse that says somehow that eternal security is not true would be to have the Bible contradict itself.
I mean, once you think that a doctrine is clear and well established, that does become now a key for interpreting other parts of Scripture, as opposed to something you keep on questioning over and over and over and over again.
Exactly. Now, if it were the case that some verse came up that denied eternal security, then we'd have to look at all the verses that unequivocally endorse it. Ultimately, we'd have to find out, okay, where is the error? Is it in the 100 verses that say it's once you believe you're secure forever, or is it in these 3 or 5 problem passages? I happen to have studied all the passages he's talking about in detail.
Sure, and we've written about them. So his question seems to be about Revelations 3:5, but one of the first things he mentions is that we ignore the passage, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." Now, that is I guarantee you, Nathan, we definitely have not ignored that passage. I mean, I can't tell you how many articles we have on it. Of course, it's also in our Grace New Testament commentary, which you can find at our website. But a lot of people think "he that endures to the end shall be saved" is speaking about eternal salvation, and it's stating that in order to be saved at all eternally, you have to persevere in faith and good works until the end of your life. That's a very common traditional view. But, Bob, I think you'll tell us that it's taken out of context.
Right. In Matthew 24:13, the Lord says, "He who endures till the end shall be saved." For anyone who's a student of the Bible, Matthew 24 is part of the two chapters, Matthew 24 and 25, called the Olivet Discourse. Jesus was speaking on the Mount of Olives, and he was talking about the coming tribulation, I believe the rapture, although not everyone agrees. And then he was also talking about, after the tribulation, the judgment of the sheep and the goats in 25:31-46. Now, Nathan mentioned the 10 virgins. Yes, the 10 virgins talks about 10 Jewish believers during the tribulation. 5 of them will be faithful and will be rewarded with being able to participate in what is commonly called the torch dance, a festivity at a wedding. It symbolizes ruling with Christ. The other 5 virgins will be excluded from that, but they'll be in the kingdom. And the idea that an unbeliever would be called a virgin is rather odd, and all 10 are awaiting the Lord's return. They're all believers. Of course, I think Nathan's view is 5 of them were believers and then lost their salvation because they didn't have enough works.
Right, possibly. That might be his view.
But at the end here, are they still believing? It seems they are. The other point is in Matthew 24:13, the end is not the end of the person's life. The end is the end of the 7-year tribulation period. Mm-hmm. And the salvation is not salvation from hell.
Right.
And we know this because there's only one other use of the word save in Matthew 24, and it's in verse 22, where it says, "But if those days were not cut short, the days of the tribulation, no flesh would be saved." That means there wouldn't be a living human being left on planet Earth if the tribulation extended beyond 7 years.
Right.
And so what verse 13 is saying is, at the end of the tribulation, every single believer is going to be an enduring believer, a faithful believer. And every unfaithful believer is not going to be saved. That is, he's going to die during the tribulation. That's why at the judgment of the sheep and the goats, all of the sheep, all of the Gentile believers are faithful.
Mm.
Not a one is unfaithful. And the reason is because this is a special period of time where God promises that only the faithful adult believers will survive.
The second major issue Nathan raises is, I think basically he thinks that justification by faith apart from works, which, you know, Paul emphasized enormously in Galatians and Ephesians,
right,
and Romans, he thinks that's really just being just. He says it's referring to Jewish works of the law and has nothing to do with the behavior of believers. I've seen that occasionally. I think that's sometimes the new perspective on Paul.
Yeah, they call it covenantal gnomism.
Yeah, they think that Paul was really just concerned about these ethnic badges that mark out Jews from Gentiles. And certainly Paul did talk a lot about circumcision and the food laws and don't judge people based on the Sabbath and whatnot, because those were issues in the early church as Jews and Gentiles were kind of figuring out how to work together. But he uses that to springboard into the much bigger problem, which is that nobody ever fulfills the law, not just the ethnic badges like circumcision. Actually, most Jews, that's a really easy law to fulfill. It was all the rest of them. How about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Jesus repeats that law for us. He says love is the summation of the law. It's still obligatory for us. And yet, Nathan, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Do you love your neighbor like that as well?
Well, that's one of the problems, Nathan, is if you're basing your current status with God based on your works, then you're not sure that even now you are born again or that even now you are saved. But let me comment quickly, Sean, on what you're saying.
Yeah.
In John 6:28-29, Jesus is asked by Jewish legalists, what work shall we do that we may work the works of God?
Right.
Perfect opportunity for Jesus to say, well, I'm not talking about works of the law of Moses, but some other works.
Right.
Instead, he said, this is the work singular of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.
Yeah.
The only way to be born again is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And Paul, in Ephesians 2:8-9, says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Why? Lest anyone should boast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's say, Nathan, that you get into the kingdom because you did more works than I did. Not works of the law of Moses. You did more works than I did. I can't understand why you wouldn't have a ground for boasting. Paul doesn't talk about lest anyone should boast about the law of Moses. He's talking about lest anyone should boast, period.
You know, someone once went to Jesus and they called him a good teacher. And Jesus has this pretty devastating reply. Matthew 19:17, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Okay, Nathan, if no one is good, that's Jesus' pronouncement, okay? That's Jesus' pronouncement on me. That's his pronouncement on you. If no one is good, how can you possibly expect to get into heaven on that basis? That is the problem that Paul is addressing. We are justified by faith apart from works. No one can be saved on the basis of our works. That's why we need Jesus' work. Jesus does 100% of the work on the cross so that you can have eternal life as a free gift. He says, if you live unsaved, you are unsaved. That's his final statement here. What do you think about that, Bob?
Well, in 1 Corinthians 3:1-4, Paul says that the believers in Corinth were living like mere men, like the unsaved.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in chapter 5, he says that one of the members of the church of Corinth, a believer, was guilty of a sexual sin that even the unbelievers didn't commit. He took his stepmother as his wife. Believers can live unrighteously, but they're still believers. Paul still calls them saints and that they are brothers, they are those of the faith. And so there is no such thing as a believer who loses everlasting life.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we have a wonderful what if question, and I can't wait for you to hear about it. Join us tomorrow. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.